Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. This is me, Anna Ingham, and PT Yates. We're walking along one of our favourite routes on the Wolverhampton Canal. And I just wanted to ask Pete about ahimsa, a term that we use quite a lot. And
which you hear quite a lot.
So just to clarify the term a little bit more.
It's a term which literally means non-violence or non-harming. The syllable him is very close actually to its English cognate, harm. So, and as in Greek, if you put an a in front of a word, you turn it into its antonym, into its opposite.
Yeah.
So it's like it's non-violent, non-harming.
Yeah.
And it's picked up by Gandhi. As an ethical underpinning to his ideas about non-violent struggle.
Yeah.
And it's an idea that's been around in Indian culture for a very long time. It was very central to Jainism at the time of the Buddha. Patanjali puts it forward as a principle to adhere to. In his kind of quasi ethics of yama niyama. So it's been around a long time, and people take it to mean things like, well, yeah, like pacifism, passive resistance, turn the other cheek, as Jesus Christ recommended, and vegetarianism or even veganism because of the suffering entailed by animals due to humans farming or hunting of them.
Yeah.
I think it in the hands of Patanjali, it does look a little bit like an ethical commandment. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not harm. And it probably does have that kind of overtone, because Patanjali wants you to have a quiet life so you can meditate.
Yeah.
And if you go around killing people, your chances are you're not going to get a minute's peace. So, I think there's an element of that in it, but I think there's something.
It's just a bit of a common sense thing.
Now, Patanjali, though, is always he asks us to turn inwards when he speaks about pratyahara and svadhyaya. Both of these point the direction of yoga out for you, it's inwards.
Yeah.
The Patanjali yoga quest, the Raj yoga quest, is inwards. And what Patanjali is actually recommending there is that in that inward quest that you're forgiving of yourself, do no harm to yourself in your practice.
Yeah.
Because spiritual practice often incites people into being very punitive of their bodies.
Yeah.
And their minds and their characters, because they are driven by superego to in the direction of trying to, through willpower, to conform, to reform themselves, to cultivate their characters. That style of meditative approach very easily leads to violence against the mind and the body. Very, very easily. And it's the phenomenon of asceticism. In yoga, I call it bed of nails yoga. But it can also be a quest for moral purity. But either way, it's superego at work, driving the ego to harness willpower to a project of self-cultivation, self-change, self-improvement, and so on. I think Patanjali, like the Buddha, recognises those temptations to self-cruelty.
Yeah.
And when the Buddha said, practice the middle way,
yeah,
he said, that actually meant, don't be too ascetic, but you can't sit on your arse either.
Yeah.
Get on the balance point and all will become clear. Patanjali says the same thing with a different vocabulary. And he says, ahimsa is the way you should orientate to yourself in meditation. And you may in meditation of the inquiry style, find your own punitive sides, find your own conflicts, find things about yourself which are not that pretty.
Yeah.
Which, because of your increased awareness, you start to become aware of. You could make discoveries about yourself that would absolutely horrify you to the point that you would then start torturing yourself. And this is where Patanjali says, don't.
Yeah.
Be kind.
Yeah.
Recognise you are the seat of all possibilities.
Yeah.
See, if you're a human being, and you look around at what other human, the historical record of human beings,
yeah,
you could think, oh my God, I don't want to be one of them. And potentially you're any of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're only human like you. Hitler is actually only human like you.
Yeah.
The worst torturer ever to live is only human like you.
Yeah.
You can kind of encounter that in meditation. And it can be deeply shocking and traumatic and very, very tempting to want to rise above it or something of that type.
Yeah.
And again, this is what Ahimsa is the light touch.
Yeah.
The gentleness with yourself, the forgiving, because after all, you're an accident anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And Ahimsa, with some of the other yamas and niyamas and some of Patanjali's approaches, gives rise to the organism becoming incredibly sensitive and receptive. And in that sensitivity and receptivity, it can catch a glimpse of the glory and the sublimity of the world. And in so doing, I nearly said liberate you, but just being as we're on this, trying to hone this different style of language here, we'd say, well, liberation happens.
Yeah.
Enlightenment happens. Enlightenment, which is already present, and liberation, which is already present, starts to manifest.
Yeah.
Through a creative bubbling up. Out of a just being very forgiving, very gentle, very light touch.
Yeah.
Very mellow, sensitising through non-violence. And you see, the other thing about violence, when we're violent in our spiritual quest, whether it's with our body, our minds, or both, or our characters, we're actually just creating insensitivity.
Yeah.
And the ascetic path is desensitises.
Yeah.
And a more open, pleasure-loving, tantric, Taoist, flowing scenario will reveal everything you need instantly if you let it.
Yeah. But I did want to ask a more particular question here, because I know that the Independent Yoga Network.
Oh yeah.
Part of the criteria, is that the
yeah,
right word?
Yeah, as far as they are, yeah.
To become a member is Ahimsa.
Yeah.
And I know that some people are a bit confused here.
Yeah, okay.
About what this means in relationship to joining the IYN and being part of that, so...
It means that we ask a very... This is very common sense stuff. Basically, if somebody applies to come to the IYN, they make an application and we look at it and admit them to it. And basically what's happening there is that person being a yoga teacher and his or her peers are taking a look according to using certain lenses or microscopes to see if they can admit them. And there are criteria, one of which is that we want yoga teachers to take seriously a duty of care to the public, to the people who become their students who come through the door to do yoga.
Yeah.
We ask questions in such a way that it becomes fairly easy to identify whether somebody actually understands that or not.
Yeah.
And is actually really truly willing to sign that they will adhere to that or not.
Yeah.
But as a meditative tool, Ahimsa is about your personal meditation.
Yeah.
But it can be used in the way that we've used it, because we'd expect people to understand Ahimsa.
Yeah.
Through their own practice, of practicing Ahimsa with themselves and their immediate family and friends, etc. So we expect them to understand it from the inside. Yeah, yeah. We do.
Yeah.
So it does have this double thing.
Yeah.
Don't be violent with yourself, and certainly you have a duty of care to the public, if you're going to be willfully harming people, we're not going to back you up. I think that's kind of obvious.
Yeah,
we're just not going to back people,
yeah,
back people who don't have a very, very clear sense of that obligation.
Yeah.
That's all, that's how that works.
Yeah.